I want to read to us from Haggai. We're at the end of the chapter, the book rather, on Haggai. Haggai's a very small book, and the second chapter and the last four verses. It says this in verses 20 to 23 of chapter 2. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time, the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord God Almighty. I want to talk today about the importance of hearing God speak to us directly. I want to speak to us about the importance of prophecy and prophetic words giving us clear guidance for what it is that God is actually calling us to. And I want to encourage us to receive from God these gifts which will bring us life, clarity, focus, and encouragement. What we have here in this last section of the prophecy of Haggai is exactly that. It's a prophecy to Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel, as he's called, Zerubbabel, is the governor of Judah. And his job had been to come back. He'd been sent back by Darius the Mede, and he was supposed to actually kind of restore he was supposed to restore the temple. And so after Nehemiah had rebuilt the walls after they had been crushed and destroyed 70 years before, they were all to come back and they were to restore not just simply the walls but also the temple. And that's the whole of the kind of the focus of Haggai. But particularly today, I want to talk to you about Zerubbabel. I want to talk to you about this man who was given a very difficult job to do. He was actually someone who had, when he came back to, or he was sent back to Jerusalem, he actually found the place in a mess. He found, not just simply, I mean, we've talked about the rubble of the former temple, which was there, but actually it talks about the fact that it wasn't, we talk about the temple mount, the mountain where the temple was actually rebuilt. That mountain was just full of rubble. That whole area was just full of the old temple, all destroyed, all knocked over. And it was a mess, it was a disaster, and it was a huge job. And it was a huge job that was particularly difficult because of the fact that he had massive opposition from people who were surrounding the Jews and who did not want this place to be restored. Jerusalem itself, the walls were being restored. We heard the stories of how they were often, Tobias and Sambalat and all these other folks who had kind of persecuted Nehemiah and the guys that were trying to kind of rebuild the wall. Those people were still around, and Zerubbabel was there, and he was actually trying to then build the temple. Even more opposition was coming. So he had huge external opposition, and he had huge internal apathy. That's, again, what we see in chapter 1, where we see the people of God being told, hey, stop mucking about in your nice paneled wood houses. Focus on building the house of God. What are you doing? You're being sucked into all sorts of other stuff that is of no significance, when in actual fact, this hugely significant thing, which is what you're called to do, is right here in the midst. So he had a difficult job. And into that difficult job came the prophet. And he said to Zerubbabel, hey, you're going to be all right, son. You're going to be all right. God is with you. You're going to be all right. He has all the silver and gold. Don't you worry. He's got everything that's required. You're going to be all right. You're going to be able to do all the things that you're called to. And then he speaks again at the end of the passage, this section here. And he says to him, not only are you going to be all right, but God says, I'm going to put you on like a signet ring. I'm going to actually, like a man puts on a glove, I'm going to take you, I'm going to use you. Like a man who puts on a ring that signifies authority, I am going to use you to be able to achieve these things. But here's the interesting thing about Zerubbabel. This is not the only prophecy that was given to Zerubbabel. If you look in Zechariah, Zechariah was also there at the time, and Zechariah 4, it says this, So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, 'Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.' What are you, O mighty mountain?" The rubble, the big hill. "What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a level ground. Then you will bring out the capstone to shouts of grace, grace." Then the word of the Lord came to me. "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will now also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things?" Here is Zerubbabel in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the job, unfinished, undone, opposition outside, opposition inside, trying to get the job done, but finding it really difficult. And what does God do? He sends the prophets. He sends the prophets. Because what do the prophets do? The prophets encourage us. The prophets comfort us. The prophets strengthen us to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. He speaks to Zerubbabel. He sends Haggai. He sends Zechariah. He speaks to him and he says, and Zechariah, I mean, we know the passage in Zechariah. He sort of says, "Listen, it's not by your might, your own personal strength. It's not by your authority, your power, that you're going to get this job done." He says, "It is by the Spirit. It's actually me. I am going to get it done. I am going to get it done for you. Just trust me and I will get this done for you. I'm going to show you that it's not just because you can, you're a big, powerful guy and you can get the thing done or you can start exercising your authority. It's because I am with you that he gets this thing done." He speaks about the fact that actually, and this is a huge encouragement. He said, "Not only have you laid the foundation," Zechariah says, "but listen, you're going to finish the job. You are going to finish the job." How incredibly encouraging is that? I don't know if you've ever kind of started something and you just kind of thought, "Man, this is an impossible task. What on earth did I think getting into this for?" And God speaks to him in that situation and he says, "You started it and I'm telling you now, you are going to finish it." And then he says, "Do not despise the day of small things." Don't despise new beginnings. Don't despise the fact that actually all I've got at the moment is the cornerstone. All I've got is the rubble cleared. All I've got, you can't even see what I've done because it's down the way. It's foundation digging. I haven't even got above the ground. It's a complete and utter shambles. You know, what have I got to show for the work that I've done? And God says to them, "Do not despise the day of small things." There's lots and lots of things that happen in our life that are so insignificant, it feels like, because they're like the seed for the mighty, mighty oak. They're like that tiniest, tiniest kernel of an idea, which actually results in us becoming everything that God wants us to be and doing everything that God wants us to do. And when the prophets come along amongst and actually speak life over us, you know, they encourage us, then they help us not just simply to kind of get a hold of what it is that God's got for us, but to press forward and to take the thing fully into all that he has in the future. Over the years, I've had lots and lots of prophetic words, and I've written them down and typed them up quite effectively, actually. There you are. Oops, I've got literally, I have got pages and pages and pages and pages of prophetic words. And they are hugely encouraging. And when I feel I've had enough, and when I feel that I can't go on, I go back here. This is where I come to. I come back to the words. The word of God feeds me and encourages me. But specifically, these words are for me. These are the words which actually God has given to me over the years and which have actually given direction and have given clarity and have given focus. They've comforted me. They've encouraged me. They've strengthened me to do the things that God wanted me to. And I've kept them. And I've not only kept them, but what happens is that they actually give me opportunity. Because what happens is this. When I see these things, when I have them in front of me, what happens is that I'm encouraged by them, yes, but also what happens is I go through life and then I realize that's an opportunity. I see a door in front of me. I see a person in front of me. I see something and I kind of, and it clicks. And I kind of go, that's what that prophecy is about. That's what the opportunity is. That's how I'm supposed to know what it is that God's calling me to. And so I can step confidently into the things that God gives to me. And I want to sort of say, for those of you who have ministered over the years in different ways, who have brought in words of encouragement to me personally, I want to thank you for that. And I want to say how significant they are. You know, they have been lots and lots of things that God has said, and I've treasured them, and I've thought about them, and I've prayed about them. And not only have I prayed about them, but I'm now at the stage where I'm actually kind of clear. I've sifted it all down, and I've got a couple of pages worth of stuff that are absolutely the things that I believe that God has spoken over my life. And I now declare these things as the truth of God over my life. And I then begin to actually align myself with the promises of God, align myself with the things that come. Now listen, here's the important thing. All prophecy is subject to Scripture. It is not beyond Scripture. It doesn't actually take us anywhere that Scripture doesn't take us. When we get prophetic words, we have to weigh them. The way that we weigh them is very simple. We teach a very simple system, which is BART. Okay? Thank you, Ben Thorpe. He taught us this. BART. Is it biblical? In other words, does it sit with the Scriptures? Does it fit with what it teaches? If it doesn't, it's not from God. And all the rest of them don't matter, because that one has to be passed. A is for the agreement of others. When you hear a prophetic word, think about it. Go away. See if it's in the Scriptures. If it fits with the teaching of Scripture, fine. But then go away and, you know, ask other people. Get the agreement of others. Go to mature people and weigh up with them. So say, what do you think about that? What do you think about this? And what about that? Agreement of others is really important. Relevance is the next one. R, is it relevant? Is it something which is completely, you know, from left field and you've never heard anything before? If it is, then you can, what to do with it is just simply take it and put it on your mental bookshelf. Boop, up here, and leave it there. You don't need to do anything with it. It might be complete nonsense. Just leave it alone. But sometimes God comes back to it. I remember when I was teaching, I remember teaching on prophecy many, many years ago. And I used to use exactly this illustration when I talked about relevance. I used to say, and if someone comes up to you and says that you're going to go to Mozambique in the future, then in actual fact, you'll know that that's just rubbish, because nobody's ever talked to you about Mozambique. Literally, that was a prophecy. That's what I actually used to use as the example. I have been to Mozambique quite a number of times now, but at that point, I'd never heard of it, I'd never been called to it, and I wasn't involved in it. And so it's very funny, God actually kind of brought it back around again, and as an example of what he actually does want to do in my life. But anyway, the point about it is that actually we need a relevance. Is it relevant to us? You know, and if it is, it'll flow with the things that God has already spoken to us, has already got in our lives. It won't sort of jar, it won't make us think, oh my goodness, I would never think of that. Sometimes there are things that happens, but put them on a shelf and God will come back to them. If they're from God, he'll make it clear. If it's not, then let it go. But that's what we do. And so is it relevant? So that's, is it biblical? Agreement of others, is it relevant? Does it testify in your spirit? This is the one that most people think actually is the most important one, but it's actually the least important of the ways of weighing a word. In other words, when I say does it testify in your spirit, what I mean is in your, you know, when someone speaks something to you, does it have life in it? Does it sort of sit well with you? Does it make sense to you? Does it kind of, do you, are you able to receive it and not have a sort of sense of lacking peace? You know, if someone sort of says something to you and you kind of go, oh no, that's not right, then it's not from God. You can let it go. Don't worry about that. But you'll know in your spirit, you know, does it testify in my spirit? We did ask, we did add a second T at the end, which was, what about the timing? Because often the prophetic words are right, but they're not for just now. And so sometimes you just need to, again, hold them to the side. And if God wants to speak to you about them, he'll come back to them. So, is it biblical? Does it have the agreement of others? Is it relevant? Does it testify in your spirit? And what's the timing of it? BART, how do you look after kind of prophetic words? You BART them. Okay, that's what you do. So what I'm saying to you is this, that actually it's really important for us to receive prophetic words. And I've done that over the years, and I've found them to be important. And that is what happened in the case of Zerubbabel. Here was a man who had been given this enormous, almost impossible task, Herculean task. And actually, what he needed was, he needed encouragement, didn't he? He needed people alongside him who would actually speak to him and encourage him and give him words which brought life to him. And as that happened, what happened was this. He was able to get the job done. And we know that that's what he did. He actually finished the task. And although we don't hear it at the end of this particular prophecy, we find that we know from history that Zerubbabel not only kind of finished it, but was able to dedicate the temple and was able to actually see the new thing established there. God wants to speak to us today. God wants to release words of life to us today.